Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected.
Community-wide, Shura and AM 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event to strengthen our national intelligentsia and network. Contact underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com, or call 910-317-0297, 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake this world into a better place.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Assalamu alaikum. You have joined us here at AM 360, the number one Muslim Islamic station in the nation. Again, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. I'm your true host today, Rabia Jackson, with another segment of Reading of a Good Book. Today, we are going to have a special guest on who's written a tremendous book of When the Hearts Connect. It's a healthy relationship guide. This book is by Sister Latifa Hameen. Just to give you a little bit of background on Sister Latifa, first of all, she is one of my very good friends and sisters in Al-Islam. She's also a very good mentor of mine. And here she is, a professionally trained relationship and life coach. She has the tools plus life experience that gives her a better understanding on how to help couples create a partnership they envision for themselves. You know, also, Sister Hameen is the executive director, at this point CEO, of AM 360, this broadcast system, and she's been a great leader for us all here as hosts. She's also the director of a Healthy Positive Choices Incorporated, which is a nonprofit organization. She's also published about 7 different books. And again, she is a host for the Blog Talk Radio as well. and a candidate for the EDD program in leadership. She's a public speaker, poet, and educator. She is married. She has two adult sons, and currently she resides in Dallas, Texas. So without further ado, I want to introduce my good sister. And Sister Hamida, just click on if you would, Sister Latifah. I'm sorry, I called her Hamida. To open up the mic for you. And
yes,
let's get started.
Assalamu
alaikum, my sister. And we do apologize. I am doing great, alhamdulillah, sister. And we want to apologize to the audience. We were a little bit late, kind of got some things mixed up there. But rest assured, inshallah, we will certainly be on time each time Allah grants us to host this show and enjoy the different authors that we're going to be inviting to come on and talk about their books that we can share with our audience. So, Sister Latifah, I want to just get into the book. Now, I want to let you know I love this book. I love it because it got to the point. There was no lot of, had to read through a lot of things to get to the point of really looking into a relationship guide. You just really got to the point on this book. And again, the book is called When Hearts Connect, A Healthy Relationship Guide. So the first thing I'd like to kind of ask you to kind of reiterate on is you were talking about in the book, there's the what to look for to know if you have a healthy relationship. So give me some, it says some tips on how to recognize you're having a good relationship. Let's talk about that.
All right. You know, to have a healthy relationship, some of the things that you have to know, you have to first be able to, you know, you're connected. You're connected with your spouse. You have good communication skills. You're able to talk with one another, not at one another. There's a difference in talking to someone and talking at them. And so when you talk at them, you're just talking and you're getting your point across. You're not really listening to what they have to say. So that's a good thing. If you know that you have good communication skills, you know you have a lot of similarities. You have your values, you have similar values. Now, we say that similar is what keeps you together, but opposites attract. You may be attracted to someone, and that first initial looking at that individual or something about that individual, you may be attracted to him or her, but what's going to keep you together, to hold that glue together, is your similarities, the values that you all have, the things that you have in common. That's what's going to keep you together. Because if not, what's going to happen is you'll start to live two separate lives, and then the disconnect is there. So you want to make sure that you have good communication. You have similarities that you have together. You have similar values. And, you know, even your belief system, it has to be similar. So just those are just some of the things, inshallah, that you definitely want to have to make sure that you're having a healthy relationship. And the respect, got to have respect, you know, because if you don't respect each other, then let's go tear it down as well. So good communication, trust, respect, you know. And sometimes people say, oh, you know, you have to be in love. And that's this Western thing, Western society. And love will come. But, you know, some people, they get married, of course, when people in Islam, when we get married earlier on, say we don't wait for a long time to get married. So you may not be in love with the individual, but you have enough connection with that individual and the similarities that you have in the religion. And you have to be attracted to that individual as well. But attraction is only something that gets you in the door. But it's the similarities and your belief system and things like that that's going to carry you over, inshallah.
So when you say attraction, so does it mean like a person, he or she, they have to look at each other and say, he's cute or she's cute? Are we talking, is that the attraction? The physical.
Well, it has to be something about that person that you're attracted to. It doesn't necessarily have to be you see them. Of course, you're going to have an initial attraction. It may be something about that individual. It doesn't, I mean, of course, when you see them, you say, oh, you know, I kind of, oh, he don't look bad or she don't look bad. But I don't think that it has to be, oh, the physical all the time. But it's something about that person that may attract you to him or her. Because, you know, sometimes people talk on the phone, and it may be something that person says that attracts you to him or her, you know? And then they may be attracted to that person before they even see them. So sometimes you have that as well. And then sometimes you can be attracted to that person, and then you see them, and then you're not attracted. So it depends on really that individual. Because some people are just real surfacey people, and they see that, and they're very surface. Oh, no, 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 no. And then there are some people that are more, that have more of a, I wouldn't say that they're just, I guess more of a spiritual enlightenment, where they can talk to that person, and there's something about them that really attracts you to them. So, you know, we can't just say all the time it's physical, but there may be some other things that attract you to that individual rather than physical.
Well, I noticed in the book here you were speaking in regards to, you say in here about compromise, and you indicated here that it'll never be like 50-50. You say no one will feel the same equally at one given time. There will be periods when one person may have to provide empathy, compassion, awareness, and patience to provide balance. And when I read that, I said, uh-oh, so Teddy was wrong when he said 50-50 love. Well, he was wrong.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, he say in his song, it's not a 30-70, not a 60-40. He say it's a 50-50. And you know, when we listen to music, and we talking about influences also of the mindset that got people kind of offset too when it comes to relationships, Teddy was wrong. Talk more about that, sister. Talk more about that, because we got to, you know, we love Teddy, but Teddy was wrong.
I'm really loud. No, what I mean by that, okay, no one can feel the same equally at one time. You know, you may get up sometimes, Rabia. You may not have a good night. You may have attitude when you wake up. So if your husband sees that you have attitude, what he has to do is rise to the occasion. So you may be down at 20 or 30 right there. And he may have to take that 70 and try to get you to a point where you're feeling better about something. You know what I'm saying? And that's why we have to get to know one another. We have to get to know that individual. Because some people, they don't get to know their spouse. What about, what makes them tick? What is it about them that I like? What is it I dislike? Some people, you know, they're just in a marriage. But I'm talking about real connection. You want to know about your husband or your wife. So if I see something is going on, I may have to carry this today. Or if you see something, you may have to carry that day. And it's not saying it's going to be negative, but no one's feeling the same equally all the time is what I'm saying. No one is feeling that same way all the time. So, you know, that's what we do for one another. We see something happening to one another, we take up the slack. Or if we see that person is in a really good mood, then we pull up. You know, so it's just, it's It's a thing where we together, what we want to do is we want to complement each other and compromise where the compromise needs to be so that we can all, you know, work at feeling the best in our relationship. And then sometimes, you know, find ways to make that mate feel good that day. You know that your mate like this or your mate like that. So you got to find ways to try to get them to where they need to be, because that's our job, because we're helpmates for each other. You know, we're mirrors for each other. You see something wrong, you know, that mirror that you're looking in, you look at that and you say, okay, what can I do to make my mate feel better? Or what can I do to help to make my mate happy for that moment? And of course, nobody can make you happy. You have to have that within yourself. They can enhance your happiness. So how can I enhance my happiness? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, yes. Now, you also say here, and see, I'm going to tell you right now, listening audience, you have to get the book. I am not going to tell you everything because this book is so in detail. And so we're going to be just taking excerpts from the book to help you to understand why this book is so pertinent to get it. Because right now we're talking about some things that can certainly take in right now to learn, but we certainly would encourage you to get this book. If you're in a relationship, you're in a marriage, or you're wanting to be in one, this is a good book to start off with to help you understand what it should look like and what we need to be working on, whether you've been married a day, 15 years, 20 years. It's a continuous work. And Sister Latifah, you say here when we're talking about how Teddy misguided us here on this, you say it is a give and a take in the relationship, which you just mentioned all that, and you said either a partner should not give. Now, see, this is where I want to talk, you know, kind of emphasize some more on this for me here. You say it is a give and take in the relationship, and either partner should not be constantly reminding of what he and she has done for the other one. And I guess when you were saying about the compromise and maybe your helpmate, it may not have been their day that day, and you want to try to make their day a good day, not to take what you've experienced in of the other one not having a good day. You say try to accommodate them, not to feel at that point to shut the door and then hold on to those feelings. And then when they come back to their senses, you're holding on to the what they did, and you never get back together. You say here in the book, you say, don't criticize and beat each other down. It only eats at the core of the relationship. It can cause resentment, which leads to arguments and other misconceptions. Now, sister, I need you to do this because one of the things that you teach, and you teach it so thoroughly, is on the ACE, which to me, in this case, when we do have the relationships and it's not the 50-50 love, as Teddy was saying, but we have to go into the compromise stage, sometimes don't that trigger of what has happened to us in the past comes in as a self-defense, and this is what causes us, as you were saying in the book, have that long-term resentment going on and building and eating the core of the relationship away. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am, and there's a couple of things. All right, so, and I was thinking about that as you were saying, I was like, okay, I remember putting that in. All right, let's start with, all right, I'm writing something down so that I can once again. Okay, now, throwing it up, and going back to what you were saying, throwing it up in a person's face. All right, when you say you were feeling some kind of way and your spouse told you or, you know, picked up that slack, the worst thing he or she can do is come back and say, you know, when you were acting like this, that, and the other, I did this, that, and the other. No. When you throw stuff in people's face, then that's where you start tearing down. If you get the inclination to do that, stop yourself. Even if you have to go somewhere in the bathroom and be mad, you know, and talk to yourself or whatever. Because when you throw it in each other's face, guess what? That person is going to have some resentment. Because they said, oh, wow, when I was feeling like this, he said so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. See, sometimes you can't take back things that you say to each other. That's why you got to be careful about what you say, because you cannot take it back. I can't take back if I said something ugly to you. I can't take that back, because what's going to end up happening is when you throw it up in your spouse's face, well, it's going to start an argument. And in the arguments, and it's all right if you, and I even talk about fair arguments in here. It's all right to have a fair argument, but to have, be at a disadvantage, because you're feeling less than, or you're feeling guilty, or you're feeling shame or whatever, because that person is throwing that up in your face. And you had no idea that maybe you were acting like that. So, you know, sometimes we got to cover each other's faults. They talk about that in Quran, covering each other's faults. Sometimes you got to do that, you know.
Yeah.
And so what I want to say is that you do it for the relationship. See, I always talk about a third person, and of course we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always going to be there. But what I was talking about when the third is the relationship. You do something. Sometimes you got to take a hit for the relationship. You know, people say, oh, you know, that person said that, or I'm feeling this kind of way. Sometimes you got to stop and you say, I got to keep my relationship intact. So therefore, I'm going to take a hit for the relationship. Somebody, a friend of mine, told me one time, and she was a Muslim, but it really stuck with me what she said. She said that they had a property. Her and her husband, they had this property, and her husband wanted to do some extra stuff for the tenant in there, and she really didn't want to do that. She didn't see the need to do that, but she told me, she said, you know what? I let him do that because I was not going to let this break up my marriage for this kind of thing. Let him do that. He felt he wanted to do that. She said, I stepped back, and I let him do what he felt he needed to do. She went on and said, I did this for the relationship. I took a hit for the relationship. She didn't say that, but in my mind, that's what I was thinking. And when she took that hit, you know, she wasn't resentful, but she knew that she didn't want to have that argument for the sake of, you know, breaking up, or either just you know, being ugly toward one another.
Yeah.
She didn't want to do that. So she took a hit for the relationship. So that's, yes, she wanted to keep the peace.
Yeah, keep the
peace. And I always thought, yes, and that's what I talk about, taking that hit, because you do it because you do want to keep that peace in the relationship. And let me say one other thing that I want to say too, Rabia. When you have one person, and this is so important, listening audience, when one person is doing all the work and trying to keep the relationship together, what's going to end up happening is it's going to fall apart. You know why? Because one person can't keep the relationship. It has to be two people consciously in that relationship. One person can't keep the relationship going. I don't care how much you love your husband or your wife. You say, I'm going to do it. You know, you can do it vis-a-vis Allah, but then you're going to be doing it by yourself. And Allah does not want you to be in that hurt, in that pain, because it's going to be painful. You know, I'll tell you, another friend of mine told me one thing. She's not Muslim. She said, I remember her and her husband was on the brink. And so she asked me for, I hadn't written this book. It was another book. She says, well, you know, I'm going to look at this. She got one of my other books. And she said, I'm going to make my marriage work. And I said to her, I said, one person can't do it by themselves. This is a two-people relationship. One person cannot make the relationship work by him or herself. They can't do it. After a while, it's just inevitable that it's going to fall apart. It's just not designed like that. It's two people in it, and two people have to work. Now, we sometimes one, and there it goes, that 50-50, and that you know, not saying that 60-30, that 60-40, that you know, that that 70-30, okay? That's what I'm saying. But it's going to be a flip thing. It's not going to be all the time. It's going to be one person doing the 70-30 all the time. Person don't put forth any effort, and that person is doing everything. It's going to collapse because guess what? The human being gets tired. The human being is not going to just keep allowing. You know, it's like you're beating on them. You know, you're beating you. You got your foot on their neck, and after a while, it just gets old. So and it will tear down. So I wanted to make that point. One person cannot be the one that's always at the high end, and the other person is always at the low end. Never gonna work. That's why you take turns in that balancing scale.
Well, we're gonna take a short break here for a public service announcement. But when we come back, Sister Latifah, and some of the stuff you said there, and I just want to be real quick on this one when we get back, but I want you to talk about as to what it looked like when one is working on it and one isn't. Can you do that for me when we come back?
Sure.
Okay.
And I like to hear from the audience as well, so maybe it's something they have to ask.
Yes, that's true. When we come back, we're going to have Sister Latifah kind of iterate a bit on that. And if anybody have any comments, you surely can just press 1, and we'll open the mic and hear what you got to speak on. But we'll be right back. And Sister Latifah, I know you are with me. Let's PSA. I'm having some studio issues here. Can you put on one for me, please?
For a minute, sure.
Thank you, my sister.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month, where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
And we are back. Thank you again for the PSA there. So anybody just coming on, please know you're listening to the number one Islamic station in the nation, AM 360. The one that does respect your intellect and your voice is protected. We're here today with one of our authors, Tifa Hameen, and we're talking about the book she wrote called When Hearts Connect. This is a healthy relationship guide. So we're going to continue on from where we left off, and Sister was speaking in regards to how at this point, if it takes two to work a relationship, work. If one is doing all the work, it will slowly decay. My question to her was, and if we have anybody want to make any comments at this time, please, we definitely want to give you an opportunity to ask the question or speak on it. But until then, we want to just ask her to kind of reiterate on the fact that what it looks like, because some people might not know what it looks like, them working, doing all the work, and the other partner is not. Thank you, Sister Latifah. Come on in and give us some more information on this.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like, say, just a scenario, if you are, say you are the, I'm just going to put it as the wife, and I mean, we can switch it around, but I'm going to just talk about the wife. If you have the wife, she's working 8 hours a day, she's got children, she, you know, she has to take to the daycare, and she comes home, she picks the children up, and she starts dinner, and she gets them ready for bed and so forth and so on. Okay, well, let's get that scenario in our head. This is what she does, and she works a full-time job. Okay, you have a husband that the only thing he does is he goes to work, and he does not help out with anything. He doesn't do anything. He just goes to work. It's all about him, and he comes home, and he's ready for his dinner. He may interact with the children here and there, but she has to end up giving them the baths and putting them to bed. And then she's tired, and then when she comes to bed, he's ready for her to entertain him, in other words, you know? And so she is like, so what happens, she starts to get some resentment. Now, she may communicate that, and she may not. Some people hold things in. People have their ways of communication. So she may be holding that in, and the resentment comes. Or she may talk with her husband about it, and, you know, can you help out? And then he may say, oh, this is what you're supposed to do, and I'm not supposed to be doing this. This is your job. Okay, I'm just saying, just a scenario. Okay? And then once he says that, then that goes on. So that's that person doing everything. And she has to be the one that takes care of everybody, takes care of the husband, takes care of the kids, and she has no time for herself. How does she take care of herself? And so this is a thing that the resentment starts. And then as the resentment starts, then she tries to talk. There's nothing. And it's like goes on deaf ears. And then here she is after a while, depletes almost everything in her, and she begins to resent the marriage, resent her mate, and then she's trying to do everything, to keep everything together, and it's to no avail because he doesn't see what he's doing and the part that he plays in this scenario, and so it ends up crushing. And let me say this real quick. When someone says, I didn't have no idea that my mate was unhappy. I had no idea that he or she wanted a divorce. So you don't just wake up in the morning and your marriage is over. That marriage has been over for years. Or, you know, it might have been over for a long time. And you were just there. Whomever was just there. You don't just wake up one morning and be surprised. The person that's surprised that their marriage is over, they was not in the marriage. They were dealing with themselves. If you know your mate, you know when things change. You know when your mate is not feeling something. And then because you know that, you're going to address it on some level. But to wake up one morning and say, I had no idea this was happening, well, you were so self-indulged that maybe you didn't. And that's where the problem is. welcome.
All right. Well, we got a comment here. I'm going to open the mic for 636980. Welcome and speak on it.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. This is Kareem Amin. Calling you from
Walaikum assalam, ma'am.
Praise be to Almighty God. This is very, very critical conversation that we're having here, the sacred bond of marriage. You know, the sacred bond of marriage is identified as half of our religion, as half of the deen. So where better to practice your religion than on and with your mate? On and with your mate. Allah says in the Quran, it is he who places love and mercy between your hearts, mm-hmm. between your hearts. The Prophet Muhammad, the Quran was revealed on the Prophet Muhammad's heart, on his heart. And so it is very important to be evenly yoked, you know, to have similar beliefs. I practiced my religion on that person which was closest to me, my wife. There is no such thing as women's work. We need to erase that from out of our thinking. The Prophet Muhammad was seen sweeping the floors of the house. Why? He lived there. He lived there. Yes. He was seen going to the market doing the shopping. Why? Because they are partners to one another. That he is an equal partner in the running of the home, of the house. And so if we accept the religion on our heart, then we should connect with the heart of the Prophet Muhammad and emulate that in our practicing the religion on our closest connection, that is our mate, our husband, or our wife. Allah says, lower the wing of humility to the believer. Be gentle with the believer, but be hard against the non-believer. So if we are all members of the same faith, the same religion, then that's a plus, because now if there is a difference of opinion, we can go to Almighty God's guidance. We can go to the Quran. We can go to the book and address whatever the issue is. And whatever is found there, even if it goes against me, if I'm a Muslim, I am to submit. I am to submit and conform to what Almighty God has revealed. So there is no such thing as women's work. The Prophet Muhammad, he cooked. Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, he said one of the best hobbies that he loved was cooking. So us as husbands, we are partnership. In the living space, we are partners. The husband and the wife, we are partners in the maintenance and the running of the home. Now, let me say this: as men, we have to put our ego aside. Who has the last word on the management of the home? It is the wife. It is the wife. Go ahead on and submit to that, you know? Submit to that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take anything from your maleness. You are following the guidance that God has given us. The best husband was the Prophet Muhammad. So find in Muhammad the best example for any who believed in God in the last day. And we know how gentle he was with his wives. We know how caring he was with his wives. So it's good to have the same faith, because I can argue my opinion, but let's see what God says on this issue. And if it is for me or it is against me, I am to submit to that. Praise be to Almighty God. And let's practice our religion on each other. I recently spoke with a woman, and she was very upset. She said, I'm sitting here in my car at the park, saying I'm feeling very, very distressed. I said, well, what is wrong? She said, my marriage. He wants to control everything. Everything. No matter what the subject is, no matter what it is, he gets right in the center of it. And he wants to control everything. Now, this man, he says that he is a Christian minister. So my suggestion to her is remind him of that. You know, take him to the scripture that you both agree that will guide your life. And we ought to be, God says, he placed love and what? And mercy between our hearts. So what? She has a flaw. What, am I to beat her over the head with that? Am I to go outside of the home and share that flaw with everyone? No, have mercy toward your mate. Practice the religion on your mate. That is the first, my God, that's the first standard. That is half of our deen. So I hope that the words I'm saying is registering with us, and that we follow the example of our beloved Prophet Muhammad. He was the best husband. Study how he was a husband. I'll stop right there, my sister. Praise be to Allah. And Latifa, we thank you for this book that brings forth subject matter that is very critical, that we must take seriously. And we must think about and act on. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. I have another another comment here. And Imam, if you don't mind, if you press 1, let's see if you can put your hand down so that I know. There you go. Thank you, Imam. All right, we're going to open it up for 916, 968. Welcome.
Thank you. Peace and blessings to you all. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm listening to the sister speaking regards to her book and relationships. But one thing that I've always spoke on in regards to the strength and the bond of the union of black men and black women is that I always believe in looking at the relationships with how our ancestors started, and that's a star in the set in Kemet, and which they address the beginning of time of how the black man and the black woman how they built. How we actually, the building of us started. And it's a lot to it, but what I pulled out is that the woman was never absolute. Like today's society kind of like put us, made me feel we've been secondary to human nature. Like so many things are targeted at us. And I say that in respect to how we're dealing with women's rights and the political and politics, and you have all these different things that's been formulated over women's rights. And so culturally speaking, I think that when we assess the beginning of us, that it gives more definition to how the future should have went. A lot of the breaking of the black woman and the black man, and I'm going to be upfront and say it, some may agree and not agree, started with the whole civil rights movement. Once the civil rights and all that took place, it weakened us as people, because, again, the whole plot was to divide the black woman and the black man, and the first thing they aimed at was our assets. And, well, not the first. Of course, it was our mind and our culture. And then once the whole civil rights movement got in place, that's when, to me, I feel that that's that generation from there on, our strength and our love for one another weakened. I've also believed that not having faith in oneself, I believe that a lot of the reason we have so much conflict with black women and black men in relationships is because the black man has been tarnished so bad to where he don't even know his place in relationships. Sometimes you have the black man in relationships that's too feminine, but he's a man. Let him tell it, he's straight masculine. Then you have the woman that's too masculine, but you let her tell it, she's all feminine. Yeah. So we've lost our roles. Like, we don't know our roles in that we walk. We see them, but we don't know them. And then a lot of things that act out in our relationships, we only go by what we see. So if we go back and start teaching our kids by example of the importance of having a healthy relationship with black men as black women, then we can start this new generation with loving one another. Because the hate that I have for a black man, it goes, my daughters that have that same hate. I don't have it, but I'm just saying, in general speaking, that hate is passed down. And then you have young black men that get so frustrated with the black young woman, they don't even want the young girls no more. Because all that stuff that the sister was just saying about knowing your position, playing your role, communication, all that, this new generation has not been taught that by example. They haven't seen that by an example. You have the music that tells them the opposite. You have the male that looks up to the male rappers as their fathers. So they're not speaking in these different outlets on how to be a great black man. They're only teaching our futures how to be a slut and how to slut out a black woman. Hey, that's just the truth. You have too many. I've been studying for like 5 years. I've been studying missing black women and also the alarming rate of black women that are being murdered by their mates. And every year, the numbers are getting higher, and now they're starting to take the kids out with them. Something's wrong there, because that's not even natural for our culture. Something's wrong there. And it goes back to what happened. Them too. It started off with them too. They did not know and weren't taught how to love one another as people, and nevertheless as a couple. So it's like, nowadays it's past religion differences, because everybody is with everybody now. People nowadays, now nobody's tripping off of, I'm a Muslim, you're a Christian. It's like, I love you, you love me. We're going to figure this out and go from there. You do you, I do me type thing. But there is an issue that comes up because of that. And it's not necessarily the religion part. It's the principles in each religion that teaches different things. So that's why you have a lot of Catholics, they be with Catholics. Muslims say it's better to marry a Muslim. Christian, the Christian. Spiritual, speak with spirituality. It's principles in each one of those different beliefs. And so when you live in this generation where people have no beliefs, you got wild behavior. We're dealing with a generation that don't have beliefs. You got the generation that actually is real resentful to a lot of the elders. You got I've heard a lot of young people don't even respect, listen to, look at us like, how you gonna tell me this? And that's because my generation went to prison, left all these kids out here, and they're getting out now, And then these kids ain't respecting nothing that you come from, none of that. It's a lot of anger. So we see, like, I'm listening to everything she's saying. Yeah, everything she's saying is awesome. Take out the religion part for people who don't want to deal with the religion, but just the message and everything that this book offers. It should be, she needs to do this as a seminar, guest speaker. We need people to start actually physically speaking to our people about loving each other again, having some dignity about being a black couple, pride about the religious aspects of unity. We're losing that. We got a generation that's wild out.
Let me interrupt for just a second here, I'm listening to what you say. And I'm agreeing with what you say, but it goes back further than people just don't have this or just don't have that. Just like Sister Rabia was talking about at the beginning, she mentioned ACE, adverse childhood experiences. A lot of things happen when we were young, and what happened as a result of that, a lot of people have unresolved issues. And then they become adult, and they have buried those issues, and now they're adult with unresolved issues. Then they bring in children, and the children, they follow the parent, and the parent, everybody is so dysfunctional. So coming back to trying to go back to the beginning of this thing, what happened, and trying to get some help and understanding where we are now. We used to then do a lot of things that I see out here now. But if you see, it's crazy out here. So many things. I mean, I agree with everything you're saying. Everything out there, these kids, these young kids, kids raising kids, they don't have anything because the parents haven't instilled anything in them. And then they're coming up here. They don't have any check and balance. They do anything. They have no check and balance where they can see that, this is wrong. What more? What happened to the morals? All of this stuff is went away, and it all stems back from these unresolved issues. And then we constantly are coming up here, and the children are constantly doing the same thing over and over again. It's not going to be okay. It's not going to change until we go back and try to figure out what's going on with the children, even the adults. They need some help. They need some guidance because they don't know. And then now they're having children and their children are having children. And it was just a big mess, total mess. And so I agree with what she's saying, Rabia, on that. So I'm just going to stop right there and let you jump in.
Yes, ma'am. All that was good. I mean, the sister said a lot of what her concerns were, and she pointed out many, many of our issues. But rest assured on one thing, inshallah, alhamdulillah, AM360 is the number one Islamic station in the nation. We address these issues on pretty much, if it's not a daily basis, it's a weekly basis. We have all type of programs that we invite you to listen in, because it has to start with us first. We have to listen and do what we are to do, and then be the ones to step out, as you said, young sister, to make be that example. Our radio station, the main thing that we are looking at and sharing is that overview of how the natural human being should be. It's for everybody, not only our people, but all people. And so we always encourage you to continue listening to us. Yeah, we got 24-hour streaming where you can pick many of the different programs that address many issues of us as a people, us as humans have. And so this is pretty much right now of what you're speaking on, what you spoke on about relationships. This is why you're listening today, because we got a sister on here who is a professional, who understands these things and got this book When Hearts Connect, a healthy relationship guide, just as that last word, guide. So in our religion, Allah's first revelation to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was ikhlas, meaning read. And so I'm saying this to the audience. Allah said he can't change the condition of a man, woman, mankind, human, until they change what's in their heart, but it got to start with the mind and how you think. So in this case, how we learn, we read. This is a good book to and learn these things so that if you have a relationship that's on the brink, you know, and it's worth saving as you go through this inventory, this is a book to guide you both. If you're willing, a couple willing to learn. If you don't have a relationship but want one, want to know how to be that and have a good one, this is a good book, one of the good books that she has. And so if you have a great relationship, this is a book to maintain it. In fact, in this book, she talks about retaining a good relationship. Sister, you say in chapter 5, in 916-968, please do a favor for me. Press 1 so your hand will go down. But if you have another question, then you can put it back up, and I'll know at that point you got a new question. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. So, sister, let's talk about that, because in the book here you talk about 45 tips on relationships, and you mentioned a couple of those. And then in chapter we talked about, you said you covered a lot already. Even in the second chapter you talked about second chapter you talked about plant positive seeds. Give me a short example of the positive seeds of those who want to ensure and assure, I guess you can say, of their relationship with their partners, to let them know if everything's all right. Sometimes people need assurance. Tell us a little bit about that planting good seeds.
Okay, it's just basically just some of what I have in there. If you want me, I don't know which area that you want, because there's a lot of little stuff in here about planting the positive seeds into a relationship.
Just a couple, just to give them an idea, because sometimes people want to know if they're on the right track, you know?
Basically, I'm just going to say, basically, it talks about healthy relationship seeds. It says that, and I, you know what, let me just read this and then I'll comment on it, okay? It says the poem in here. It says a healthy relationship takes work indeed, but two people have to plant the right seed, watering it every day, and also having the best intentions along the way. Then you'll see whether it's meant to be. It may be a little bud when it first began, but if it's taken care of, it will sprout in the end. A healthy relationship is hard work now and then, but anything worth having is worth the work put in. The love you get will be well worth it indeed as you see the blossoming of the first planted seed. So are you planting positive seeds? So how do we do that? It's like things that you watering it every day, telling your spouse, your significant other, getting up in the morning, giving them a hug, giving little things. You wake up in the morning, you give them a hug, you give them a kiss. You may just get up and just rub them on the shoulder. Now, that's planting that seed. Everything doesn't have to be sexual. It is just having that love for each other. When I am up in the morning, when I make salat in the morning, what we do after we make salat, then we give each other a hug. and a kiss. Good morning, you know, whatever, after we have prayed. So that's planting positive seed. Okay? When see that your spouse, you know your spouse likes something, you go to the store, you will get that special thing that you know your spouse likes.
That's a love language, sister.
Yeah, that could be a love language.
Yeah.
And even if knowing your love language, some people have two love languages. Just knowing the love language from your husband or your wife, you may do something. You know, I mean, even thinking about them throughout the day, calling them, sending them a text, just let you know I was thinking about you today. I love you. Just wanted to let you know I love you. Those things, that's positive seed. We've gotten so far away from things like that because what we do is we just go along the day. Everybody's in their own little world. So we have to think about each other, thinking about it. We have to water it, and it begins to bud. And even, you know, it sets the tone for the day. And I talk about it that in the 45 tips, some of the little things that you do for each other. Just to say, you don't even have to say anything. You just go up to them and say, you know, I love you. Or just go up and say, I just wanted to give you a hug. Or, you know, I cooked your favorite meal today. You know, so that's when we start doing those little things.
I got a 916-968. Come on in. She got something to say.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you because I really appreciate you, the wisdom that you're giving out. I came out of a relationship for like 4 or 5 years of anger. I wasn't affectionate. Whole mindset was just different. And then I'm in a relationship now where all the things that you said, I had to remember them things. I had to remind myself to love back and because I got selfish and I just wanted all of, I found myself just gluttoning all of his love and not giving, I don't feel I was giving at the time the same in return I can't explain, but I just feel like I was giving him, holding on to the old feelings and not allowing a new feelings, a new person to be. So some of the things you said, I appreciate because the problem, if I didn't hear some of the things you just said, I wasn't even thinking that. Like this, what you just said, getting up in the morning, I'd be getting up, I'd be dressed and just, I'd be in the snack on Liz Dubai and just, I'm going that fast, like I'm moving fast. It's just the small things that we take for granted be the biggest things that can keep a relationship together. So I just wanted to say I hear you, and just know that everything you're saying is being observed, and I will use some of these tools to assure some of the things you're saying, because I want a healthy relationship. I want a long-lasting relationship in this one, and I want to be the best me, and I want to love the way that person receive it and feel it. I'm not a verbal person. I've always been a more, you know, action type person. So I appreciate that. And I just wanted to tell you that because we need more elders to tell us younger women how to be a woman to a man. Some of us don't know. And we go off of sometimes instincts, shows, some things we remember with our parents. But in general, some of us need guidance as a black woman how to be a black, healthy woman to a man.
Mm-hmm. And a man the same way, right?
Yeah, but I'm just speaking female-wise at this right now. Because what I do believe is if the better we are, the better they are. If we can be our best self, sometimes it makes them be the even better them.
Yeah.
When they
see
that you change things, it makes them more receptive to change and make things better.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. You know,
I'm definitely going to get your book, and I'm going to promote it. So I just need a picture of it.
Oh, I'll get that over to you.
Yeah, I definitely want to get the book and promote it to my peers as well, because we definitely been looking for guidance and trying to be better women, because I'm telling you, good men want good women. Good men want good women. So, you know, they say we're all the good men now waiting on us.
And I'll give you that. We're about to get off, but I'll give you that information so you can write it down, name of the book and where to get it and my phone number and all of that stuff. And we want you to come in. Is this your first time? It's your first time listening to
you? Yeah. You know, it's funny. In Sacramento, there was a lady. They used to always invite me to come on the shows and stuff. And, you know, but I'm one that I have to listen and hear you. I just don't want to jump in and trying to make up stuff to fit in. I have to be able to relate. So this was one that I definitely needed to hear and can relate to, and I'm glad I was able to catch it and be a part of it because it was good timing.
Oh, wow. Well, alhamdulillah. That's wonderful. You got to continue to listen to AM360, and we have programs on every single day for you to come in and listen to this. And you can give me a call. I'm going to give my number. Give me a call anytime. I'm over at I'm at AM360. I'm the CEO for AM360. So I will, and if you're interested in anything, you can call me. And we can talk, and maybe we can get some other, you know, tell me some other programs that you're interested in having on AM360 as well.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So we thank you as well, sister, for...
You know, it's just natural for me. I'm sorry.
But we appreciate you, Sister Latifah, because I was going to say, mention the other seven books that you published. Because when we start at the beginning, I indicated here she's a professionally trained relationship and life coach. This sister has, when we talked about the ACE, she is one that give classes and teach about those things and abuse, domestic violence and abusive relationships, and showing you the signs and how to get out of them, how to correct that. In fact, my husband and I was on one of her programs, and we talked about the fact that we had an abusive relationship, and we figured out that we wanted to be together. It was worth us being together, and we took the necessary steps to correct our communication and behavior with one another. And, hey, we going on 22 years, so we're grateful to all of that. So, Sister Latifah, just tell us about some of your other books. We got a few minutes here that we're going to be closing, but I want you to get the gist of that. And before we go, you got some things in here about 10 signs of your marriage is solid. And some of the people I know maybe on here, maybe not be married, maybe they're not Muslims, but they got relationships, committed relationships. I want to underline that it's about committed relationships for sure. We always like to make sure and reference about marriage and the marriage being a committed relationship. You say here, 10 signs of your marriage is solid. That you trust each other, you got good communication, you're active intimacy and passion, meaning that you take time for each other for this. Now, this is the one, sister, and I believe it's the trying one for everybody. Tough times have made your marriage stronger. Let's talk about that a minute, Sister Latifah, because I've seen it. We know about people that's the test. Right there. That's a number one test. Let's talk about that a minute. Talk about that tough times.
Okay, tough times. It's like when things go wrong. Girl, things be happening, and it seems like things are just falling apart right in front of you. And when you all can just hold on to each other, when things get tough, then you hold on to each other. You figure out how can we get through this. you know, we got to maneuver some things over here. We got to do some things over here. We may have to do that. Instead of just getting negative and bailing out and say, oh, I just don't know what we can do. And you know, and that's when we go to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, together. And we ask Allah, please help to make us strong. Help us to weather the storm. My husband always says, he said he asked Allah to give him the ability or the strength to handle what he puts on him. Give me the ability to handle it. That's what I want. And so as a couple, you can ask Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give us the ability to handle this, because you're going to be tested and tried. That's part of life. Don't think you can get away without being tried and tested with your goods and your personal self. So
yes,
I'm saying that having that tough time, and each time you get out of a tough time, guess what? That relationship becomes stronger. That rope is tighter. And it's tighter and tighter. So you will definitely, the tough times will have made your relationship strong. That's how you know it's solid. You know, forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know, you learn to forgive and move on. Some people get stuck and they don't learn to forgive each other. You got to be able to forgive in order to move on. Forgiveness is for you. It's not for the other person. It's for you.
Yeah.
But you know, I always think, we ask we don't want Allah to forgive us, but yet we don't want to forgive each other. Ain't that something? We're going to beg to Allah to forgive us, but then we don't want to forgive each other.
Well, what about when people on the outside see that you've forgiven, you know, and they prosecute you or persecute you for forgiving in your marriage, and it ends up being where you have to make a choice between your, let's say, your loved ones versus your husband? Because somewhere in there's a line that should be drawn. If I'm correct, sister, you tell me, where if something goes awry in a relationship and it's between them to forgive each other, it's not the outside third eyes and so forth. It's between them. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, if you're in a relationship, and I know sometimes when you have the abuse, that's something different, you know, because sometimes you may need that. But when you have a husband and a wife, they have to try to figure it out themselves. If they want their relationship to be strong, you can't let outside forces just, oh, well, you should do this, and you should do this, and you should do that. No, you don't do that to people. You have to let them figure it out. Now, if they ask you for your opinion, then you can give your opinion. But it should be you two that decide the fate of your marriage. Because when you bring other people in, if it's not something that you cannot resolve, you try to resolve it. And if you can't resolve it, you want to bring in a third party to help you resolve an issue that maybe you two cannot see through it. Then you bring in a third person. Then when you bring in that third person, then that person can talk, listen to you all, and you all can figure it out by listening to what the other person, the third person, is saying. But just letting people come in and constantly getting in your relationship, that's going to always prove disastrous. Okay?
Yeah.
So you gotta look at what's in front, what's at stake, and then go from there. Because, you know, you can't let people come in and just tear your relationship down. You can't allow that. Cannot.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know. But there's a lot of things, and you know, I have to come back, sister, and go over some more of this. Everything is so, you know. There's so many things
that I can
put. Yeah, it is. It really is.
Yeah,
and it helps
it really,
me
and,
when
and,
I go over.
We really need to come back. Remember, you audience, we're here every first and third Sunday, And we'll see if the sister is available for our next broadcast, which is the first Sunday of the month. And we'll have more time, and we'll break down some more. We do need this, Sister Latif. I've been telling you that you need to take it on the road, my sister. And, hey, I just had somebody confirm it. Somebody just confirmed you need to take this on the road. But we certainly thank everybody for listening. Sister Latifah, thank you for taking the time out of your day to just give us some inserts and enlightenment of your book, When the Heart Connects, A Healthy Relationship Guide. And if you would, just so really quickly, inform us how we can purchase this book.
Okay. All of these books are at Amazon. You can I have a website, healthypositivechoices.com, or you can go on Amazon.com. All 8 books are on Amazon. Just put my name in, Latifah Hameen, and you go to Amazon where it says search, and then all the 8 books will come up. And I just wanted to give the sister, my number is 817-793-0936, 817-793-0936. You can give me a call if you have any questions. And I also want to let you know, too, Rabia, you know I have a couples workshop that I do. It's usually about 6 hours, but I've been kind of broken down to maybe I can do it in 5 hours, because it's a long workshop, but it's interactive. All of these, the couple is very interactive. So it's not like I sit there and talk. No, you're going to be doing exercises. Maybe you're going to be talking. You're going to be, it's just wonderful. So I just want to let you know there is a workshop that I do, and I can do it online. Well, if you do it online, it's not going to be as great, because having the couples there, we do a touch and an eye contact with each other, and it's so, so wonderful. I mean, it's a really nice program, or it's a nice workshop. And so some of the things that we talked about in here, we talk about in there as well. So, inshallah. Like I said, I'd be more than happy to come back, because I'm going to be doing the first Sunday anyway. So I'll be there, inshallah.
Inshallah. Well,
inshallah.
It is time for us to close out. But again, we want to thank each and every one of you all for coming and listening in with us. And please stay tuned for our next program, because we certainly have another one coming on right after this, which is the Town Hall. And it's going to be speaking in regards to civil human rights and dignity, and giving a lot of information from where even the sister was speaking who called in about where things began and where they are now. So it's all kind of things going on our station here at AM 360. Stay tuned for that. We want to thank you again, Sister Latifah, and all our listening audience. May the peace and blessings that only Allah, the one God, give you. And if by his will, we will be here again on the first Sunday at the same time, same place. We're going to sign out at this time. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, sister. All righty. And then we are going to start our next program here. Thank you all for listening. We are going to go right to the town hall. We're running a little bit behind. So, alhamdulillah, we're going to really start this. Right